Randy asked me to do this, and I said, well, let me check my speaking schedule. Well, there's not anything on it this week or next week or the next year. I can promise you that's not what. But as I looked around the room, I guess I'm going to teach on how to treat your coworker today. That would apply to a lot of people in this room. You know, it's amazing what Randy just said. This past week, I was on the road. I've been traveling a lot, doing a lot of things across the state. And one of the ministries that I support, have for years and years, there's three of them outside of my own home church that I support because I just get ministered to by their ministries. And one of them is David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson is no longer with us. He went on to be with the Lord. His son Gary now basically takes a lot of it. But y'all remember David Wilkerson, I'm sure. But this past week, I get a monthly newsletter. And this past week, I got one. And for whatever reason, I felt inclined to take it with me. And so I was down in Austin, in a hotel room in Austin, and just get alone with the Lord every morning as just I try to, as my custom is. But the name of this particular message was Waiting for the Power of God. And it talks about how, behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And then it goes into talking about when the Lord fills you with His Holy Spirit. And so often, we try to run ahead of Him, if you will. And I can promise you, when He filled the people with the Holy Spirit up in the upper room, you know, Peter would talk and he would cut people's ears off and he would do this and he would do that out of his haste and carrying on the way that Peter would do. But when the Lord filled him with the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people were saved in one fell swoop. And I just want to encourage any of you, if you feel like you've been waiting on the Lord, as we probably all feel like we have been waiting on the Lord, because we all have dreams and visions and goals and things such as that, don't give up on the Lord. Stay in faith. Three words that I just try to really pattern my life with are those three words: stay in faith. I don't understand why things go on the way that they do in life, but I just recently had a milestone in my life. A couple of weeks ago, I hit a magical age. Randy's going to hit it shortly. He likes to kid me about it. I won't say anything about Mike because he hit it years ago. I turned 60. And that's fine to turn 60, I guess, although it just kind of hit me. And I turned 30, no big deal. And I turned 40, no big deal. You know, 50 was really not that big a deal, but 60, like, ooh. And because there's always something about the age of 60 that I always thought, man, if you hit that old, you're there. And all of a sudden I hit it. And so I'm thinking, But I tell you, you know, when you do things like that, it causes you to kind of reflect a little bit on your life and look back on a few things. And I can tell you, I'm a guy that likes to dream. I'm a big dreamer. I love to tackle things that are much bigger than me. I've always been like that for whatever reason. I'm never scared to take a chance. I never have been. And that's a trait that, you know, I used to think, well, that's just the way I am. Well, no, it's not the way I am. It's the way God made me. And God makes us all certain ways. But when you're like that, there's always something outside of your reach that you're reaching for. And I'm not quite there yet. You're still reaching, even at my age now, I'm still reaching. And I just want to encourage you, don't give up on those dreams that God's given you. I mean, He's given them to you. He's not a one that gives you something and then takes it away. But, you know, a lot of my dreams are doing the very thing I'm doing right now. And, you know, I used to do this a lot when Dad had the church here, but that's been almost 13 years, 12 years or so since my dad went to be with the Lord. And I used to teach and to speak quite a bit with my father, you know, helping my father with the church. And you get a lot better at it, if you will. When I say better at it, you just get more used to it and feel a little more comfortable doing it when you're doing it week after week after week. And I did it week after week after week for many, many years. In fact, the last couple of years of my dad's life, I did it every week because Dad was not able. And you know, there's seasons in our life, and that season kind of went away. So I don't do this much. Last time I spoke was here. So I'm not in demand. You're probably going to say, I don't know why. But I enjoy doing this. And I've always had a dream to speak to a lot. You know, I've got this vision in my mind. You know, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring forth the good news. And I've got this vision in my mind, which visions are all so personal, but of standing on a platform, feet. I saw 2 feet, my feet, standing on a platform speaking. Whether that happens or not, we'll see. But I enjoy this. I enjoy this more than I do running an organization, because this one is just a lot more fun to me. But I can tell you another thing, too. And it's going to lead us into what we're going to talk about, what I'm going to talk about. And that is the fact that in these years, these last dozen years or so, I have been transformed by the renewing of my mind more than I ever have in the history of my life. You know, I was raised in church, and I thank God for it. I was listening to my Uncle Nelson this morning on a tape speaking, and he was a man that was with me when I got saved at 6 years of age. He baptized me when I was a youth. And somebody that I always just really looked up to. And I was raised in a church, and I thank God that I was raised in a church. But I can tell you, I've had to have to kind of rethink a lot of things as I have gone on and seek the Lord over the last 12 years or so. And I want to tell you this, and I don't, you know, to live a good life with bad doctrine is not easy. But I want to say I had a lot of bad doctrine, and God's so gracious that He opens your eyes to things so He can show you the truth of who He really is. And as He unveils to you who He really is, you just can't help but fall in love with Him. I mean, it's just natural. It's just natural. And I used to be a performing kind of guy. I always felt like, you know, I was always kind of taught that if you want to get to a certain place in life, you've got to work for it. You've got to work for it. You've got to work for it. There's a price to pay. I used to lead the worship in our church, Tinker and I. And in fact, I was sitting there. That was special, Mike. You're a dear man, your whole family. But I used to lead the worship in church, and I had a guy tell me one time, if I didn't spend at least 6 hours in prayer on the Saturday before a service, the presence of the Lord wouldn't show up. That I had to dedicate myself to that. And man, I was raising 2 kids and had to work. I worked on Saturdays and all this other kind of stuff. And I used to go to bed on Sunday night or Saturday nights thinking about the service. And I'd be beating myself up because I did not spend the time, because I hadn't paid that price in order for the anointing to come that would just change things. And when you live under that kind of performance mindset, it beats you up bad. And so the Lord just had to kind of take me to the side and just say, Mark, let's grow a little. Let's grow a little. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Turning your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm still kind of old school when you say turning your Bibles. I know when we go to church now, it's turning your iPads or your message notes on your iPhones or whatever. And I tell you, I didn't even bring my phone with me. I left it at home. That's good. I want to talk, I won't, you know, I'm not a Baptist, But I got 3 points I'm going to make today. And I've never been to a Baptist service that there weren't 3 points made. And, but 3 points about three things. And it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, I heard a man, y'all probably have heard some of y'all that maybe do, Emerson Eggerich, who's done a lot of, author and has done a lot on marriage and family and things like that. And he came and spoke here a few weeks back, and he talked about the will of God in our lives, and he talked about how complicated we make it and how complicated the enemy of our soul will make trying to understand the will of God for your life. And he just pointed out four wills of the Lord in Scripture. If we just live by this, you know, whatever, God will just take care of us if we just do this. And one of these passages was out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And then he just mentioned three others. But you know, the gospel says it's so simple that a child can understand it. But you know, the thing that the enemy of our soul does is he tries to complicate it and tries to make it a works-based type of a, you know, your ability type of a you know, behavior. And man, it just messes it all up. And we all have our ups and downs in life, in this thing called life. In the world, we will have tribulation. But it says, but be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. So we sit here and look at our tribulations, and usually we try to think, well, our tribulations are because of something we did or didn't do. And, you know, that's not always so. But I want us to just to start reading here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. And look at what it says here. It says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. And then it goes on to say that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion and lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call you to uncleanness, but in holiness. And I want to stop there, because I really just want to emphasize that third verse there. It says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Now, I've heard about the word sanctification all my life and always kind of knew what the word is. What's the word mean? The word just very simply means just to set apart. You know, the scripture says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that we have been set apart. The Christians are peculiar people. That doesn't mean we go out and act peculiar. Sometimes you see that. But it doesn't mean for us to go out and act peculiar, but we are not of the world. The world is not our home. We're just sojourners and going through. So I've always heard that about this word sanctification, but very simply, the word sanctification just means to make holy, to set apart. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. And this past week, I was reading one of my... I go through a lot of different... what do they call it? The morning's devotionals. Annual devotionals. And I was reading this past week about something, and it hit me when I was looking at this very scripture, because this is a very scripture that it was talked that was being mentioned, and it just hit me about how God really is the God of today. He's the God of now. But how does all of this go about in our lives, in this daily routine of our lives that we live out? And so there were 3 points that were made to this sanctification. What is sanctification? It's being set apart. It's being made holy. There were 3 points to this. It was a positional sanctification, a progressive sanctification, and a perfected sanctification. 3 subtitles, if you could use that term, to this word sanctification. A positional sanctification, a progressive sanctification, and a perfected sanctification. I've repeated that because I want those to sink into your mind. A positional sanctification, I was. A progressive sanctification, I am. And a perfected sanctification, I will be. You know, we are a threefold body, a threefold person, a threefold being. And so often for us to really understand where we are in life, we've got to understand that we're made up in a third part. Just like the Trinity. You know, you don't see the word Trinity in Scripture, but the Trinity is very much a part of Scripture, is it not? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But I was, positionally, when you come to know the Lord, just like it says here in verse 7, it said, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." Positionally, and this was one of the hardest things I ever grasped, that I could ever grasp in my knowledge of my relationship with the Lord. But I'm as saved today as I will ever be. When He saved me, He filled me with His Holy Spirit, and I am seated at the right hand of God, just like my brother Jesus Christ. That's what the Scripture says. But sometimes it's so hard to really figure out that and to understand that and to know that, because we always think that it's based on whether we do good or do not good, based on our day-to-day lives. Okay, do we live a day-to-day life? You know, when I got saved at 6 years old, I'm no more saved today than I was when I was 6 years old. And when you understand that He has redeemed our life from destruction, and I'm not saying when you understand, I'm talking about when you know it in your head and you know it in your heart, it will absolutely transform your life. But in this deal, the positional sanctification, I am saved. Everybody say that. Just say, I am saved. I am saved. Done deal. Sealed by the blood of Jesus. Sealed by the blood of Jesus. Okay? I want to skip the next one and go on to the last one. It said the perfected. Because we all know, look at the 8th chapter. I love this verse. I just read it this morning and I just want to read it. Just keep your finger where you are, but go over to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. That's probably, anybody that knows about the grace of God, you can just preach the whole world through the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. But it says here in the 23rd verse, it says, "Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption," and it says what? "The redemption of the body." There will come a time when this old flesh is going to take off this old flesh, and we're going to put on the incorruptible presence, if you will, of an eternal being that's been sealed by Jesus Christ. It's that perfected. We're saved, we're being saved, and we are saved. Right? Eagerly waiting for the redemption of our body. But look at this progressive, because that's dealing with today. That is dealing with today. I want to back into something here. And I know this isn't a Bible drill, but I like to go all over the Bible. Go to the 37th Psalm. Psalms 37. This is, you know, I'll just tell you all, I gave my life to the Lord as a child, as I told you all, at 6 years of age, Grace Trinity Church, Corpus Christi, Texas. I'll never forget it. I just remember that night very vividly, but I was just a little young boy. And then you kind of go through life and always was in church, and I remember doing some of the weirdest things. I remember, I'm not trying to tell y'all I'm weird, but I just, you know, we all do weird things. But I remember one time sitting at church on a Sunday night, and school started the Monday morning. And I was going to be in the sixth grade. And that meant I was going from the elementary to the junior high. And I remember being on my knees praying, "Lord, don't come tonight because I want to go to school tomorrow. I want to be a junior high." You think about how foolish that is doctrinally. But you know how we do foolish things. But anyway, you live and you learn and you grow up. But went through high school and then I went off to college. And really, my relationship with the Lord was not near what I wanted my parents to think it was. But I was not really where I needed to be. Fortunate God brought Jana into my life, which is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And, you know, and we went on. And then kind of life, you know, I thought I was going to just do well and all this other good stuff, all these things that happened. And then mid-80s roll around and the bottom falls out of the economy and everybody starts struggling. Well, I knew what was going on then. The Lord was knocking on my door. And I thank God now, but he was knocking on the door of my heart saying, Mark, where am I? Where am I? Where am I? And I remember back in 1985, we woke up one Sunday morning. John and I were in bed, woke up one Sunday morning, and I said, I'm going to church. And she goes, do what? I said, I'm going to church. If you want to go with me, that's where I'm going. So we got up, and thank God Jana has been right beside me the whole way. Never has balked at that. But I remember I went over to Burnet, and I bought me a new Bible. And the first scripture that I underlined in my new Bible was Psalms 37 and 4. And I imagine every one of you know it. And what is it? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I believed that in my head. I just never believed it in my heart. Because so much of my life was up and down like this, trying to find a way that I could find that scripture would be real to me. We all have dreams, don't we? We all have dreams. We all have expectations of our Lord. If we didn't, why do we pray in the first place? Why do we ask him for things? Why do we ask him for things? And you know, God is working, and God is closer to me than I even understand that he is. And, you know, the way that God works in my life, the way that God works in your life, from one day to the next day, you might not understand what, you know, you might not even think that God is even there. Is this thing falling off my ear, or is it just the way I feel? Okay. But, you know, in my devotion that I was reading, when it talked about this progressive sanctification and how it kind of links right back and ties right back into this verse that has been kind of a driving motivator in me of delighting myself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. What better promise could a person have on the face of the earth than that? That if you have a true desire in your heart, that he will meet it. How many people possibly go by way of the grave to eternity that never see that desire fulfilled? And I have come, now people might not believe this, but I have come to believe this in my own life. So I'm not saying this is the way it is, but I've come to believe this in my own life, that there's not a prayer that you pray that God does not answer. Not one. And we have, because of the way that things happen in our life, we've come up with all kinds of neat answers. And all this other kind of thing, instead of just simply just taking God at his word and believing him. And you know, in this devotion, what it talked about was the process. And how in the process of this, and the scripture talks about in the dispensation of time. And how this devotion kind of went off and said, basically, that it is the will of the Lord for you to be in this process. That is God's will. God's will every day in your life is for him to, for you to get to the place of knowing that he has your back. God's will for your life is for you to get to the place of knowing that he will supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. It is God's will for you to understand that God has healed you. He's not going to heal you. He already has healed you. And you know, the thing about it is I don't believe it, and I try to make excuses for not believing it through all kinds of concocted responses to something that really just comes down to one other thing. I just don't believe it. And I was sitting on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. John and I had gone, we were all over in Israel. And we all went out on a boat, you know, on the Sea of Galilee. And we're sitting there, and we were worshiping and having fun and all out on this boat. And then we had a quiet time, and I was just kind of leaning over with my arm, looking down at that water. And the Lord spoke something to my heart. And he just said, if you can believe me for this, then I'll do it. And I said, you want me to get out and walk on the water? You know, but that was the analogy that was going through my head. You know, Peter was in a boat with his arm hanging over the boat. But he was the only one that got out of the boat and walked on the water. And then they said, well, the wind came, it was boisterous and all this. Well, you know what? Whether it's calm or whether it's windy, I don't think anybody can walk on the water. But you know what it came right down to? Peter believed God. Do I believe God? Do I believe God? Do I really believe that if I make my delight in Him, that He will give me the desires of my heart? I mean, if you can believe, is God the kind of person that teases you? Of course not. Of course not. He's the kind of God that loves you and has your back, that gave His very life for you. Now, we sit there and say, well, we've heard that our entire life. Do we really understand it, though? Do we fully, really understand it? What we call the process, God calls the end. What do you mean by that? What we call the process, God calls the end. You know what? He has redeemed our lives. We talked about that in positional sanctification. He doesn't re-save us. He doesn't have to re-save us based on what we do or don't do. He has imputed His righteousness unto us. And He hasn't perfected His sanctification in me. Why? Because I'm still standing here. I haven't passed on to eternity to live forever with the Lord. So when He's doing this process in me, it's what I'm doing today. It's saying, Mark, I want you to renew your thinking. I want you to change the way you think. Randy mentioned the scripture a while ago about no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How many times have I personally, and maybe even you as well, lived under the condemnation of the enemy when the scripture says there's not any condemnation? You know, I was reading this morning the fourth chapter of the book of John about how when Jesus went with the Samaritan woman at the well, and He said, go to your husband. She goes, well, I have no husband. He says, you said right. And He said, what was it, five times? It's not your husband. It's not your husband. You sit there and you think about that. You think about that. Was God trying to point out her sin? You know, there was a time in my life where I believed He was. And let me try to point out yours. You ever, you know? But you know, I really believe with all my heart that He did it for one reason, and that was to show her how much He loved her. Because in the back of her mind, she would have said, if you really knew who I was, if you really knew what was going on, you wouldn't be talking to me, because the Jews didn't talk to the Samaritans. And if you really knew all about me, you would shun me. Let me tell you, He shuns no one. So He says, yeah, I know all about you, and here I am. Here I am. And you know, He knows all about us. He knows everything. He knows every thought, everything about us. And you know what? He's right there with us and just saying, drink of me. If you drink of the water that I have, you'll never thirst again. And so it's this process in our lives every day that Jesus really calls the end. Because when you let Him work, it seems like we're always striving for some end. We're always striving from some fulfillment of some dream or some desire. I believe He's given us the dreams and He's given us the desires just so we will seek after Him. So we'll learn after Him, because that is the process which really is this progressive sanctification, this being made holy, this being set apart. I tell you one thing, I've got a lot of flaws in my life, and a lot of y'all in here can attest to them. I work with three or four of you in here, so they see me when I'm wound up like a top. And I get wound up like a top at work. I mean, we all do we not? But you know what? God's right there, and He's working with me, and He's working with me, and working with me. Do you ever get wound up like a top? Do you have some flaws and some things? I bet if you looked at your life today and looked back at it 20 years ago, you'd say, you know, He's done a pretty good work in my life. He's really brought me a long way. And He's really done a lot of good things in me. And you know, it's the same thing that He's done in my life and the same thing He's done in yours. You know why? Because He wants to see your dreams and your desires, which He gave to you, fulfilled upon this earth. Upon this earth. And so what He will do is He will just woo you. He will draw you. He will do all kinds of things. And it might take an entire lifetime for it to happen. But do you believe He's going to do it? Well, I pray that you do, because I'm just now getting at 60 years of age to believe that He's going to do it in me as well. And I've got a lot of dreams and desires that I still have in my life, as we all do, I'm sure. But I want to go to the last scripture that, because this is another part of this sanctification in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. In the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, and that is about glorifying the Lord. How many times have you prayed this or heard it prayed when someone's praying, Lord, we ask You for this. Lord, we ask You for that. Lord, we thank You for the rain. We thank You for this day. We thank You for this. Help us do this, and to God be the glory. And we'll be quick to give You the glory for it. You ever heard that prayed? We'll be quick to give You the glory. Are you really? Are you really quick to give Him the glory? Well, we're learning to, aren't we? Look here at verse 9, in chapter 4, verse 9. You know, the book of Hebrews is a book that's got to really be discerned. It's not an easy, it's like the book of Revelation. How many of you have read the book of Revelation? You kind of read something, you go, duh, you know. The book of Hebrews really is a lot like that too. But as we seek the Lord, He begins to open some of the things up. But look at what it says here in verse 9. It says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work as God did from his. But look at this verse 11 here, because this is almost seems like an oxymoron. Because it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Well, does that seem like it's contrary to, you know, on the surface? I mean, just like in the book of Peter, it says, you know, all these virtues and stuff will add to this, add to that, which means that that's something we've got to do, right? Add to this or add to that in our life. And like it says here, let us be therefore diligent to enter that rest. Well, rest, I thought rest meant just that, rest. Don't do anything. Don't do anything. But if God is to receive all the glory as we pray, and God will be quick to give you the glory, then you know what? We've got to let God do all the work. We've got to let God do all the work. So if God's working in this regard, or if He's working in that regard in your life, we're sitting there praying for this, or we might be praying for that. Well, you know, if we're praying for this or praying for that, and you haven't seen it happen yet in your life, there's probably still something that God is working out in you until that prayer can be answered as you can see it with your own eyes upon the face of this earth. And that is all a part of this process that we think the end result, when we see this manifestation of this prayer or the manifestation of this dream or the manifestation of this goal, we see that is the end when God is looking at the process as really being the end. Because when God is working in our lives every day and we hear that, to God, that is the end. When all we're kind of doing is just kind of focus, and it says, you know, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. When we can just sit there and say, you know what? God, You do have my back. You do have my back. And when I say we'll be quick to give You the glory and we'll be quick to give You the honor, that that is really the way it is within me, within my innermost being. That progressive sanctification that has made me holy, that has set me apart, knowing that my God has my best at heart. And you know what? When you know that God has your best at heart, and that you know that all things work together for good, when you know that all things work together, even in the midst of chaos, in the midst of trial, in the midst of test, you can enter His rest. And you can be diligent to enter His rest, knowing that God will meet all my needs. You know what? It's easy to believe for healing when you're not sick. It's easy to believe for provision when your checkbook's got a lot of commas before the period. It's easy to believe for a lot of this kind of stuff, but you know what? When it's not like that, what do you like? What do you like? And when he's sitting there talking about, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that's the whole man. As we started in this first passage of Scriptures, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, and how God is working in us. You know, God wants to get us to the place, and God desires to get us into the place to where we are literally walking in His rest. Just walking in His rest. You know, I know my Redeemer lives. Whether He, what would Job say? Whether He or slays me, still I'll trust Him. Still I'll trust Him. Just the rest of the Lord. You know what? I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer. I'm being set apart a little bit more. A little bit more every day. I want to tell you this, folks. When God gives you a promise in His Word, believe it. If you're sick, what's He say? By your stripes, you can be healed. In the sweet by and by. You know, and it's not easy, is it? You know, yesterday morning, I got up and was out at the ranch. Well, actually, it's Friday morning more than anything else. And I've got to where I heard a teaching on the communion and the taking of the communion. And you know, when Jesus said, He goes, it's finished. What did He mean by that? Just what He was doing is finished? You know, what did He really mean by that? So I sat there and I've got to where I almost take the communion almost every morning. And just receive of the Lord. And I just say, Lord, just receive of You. And I said, I receive healing right now. My nose ran all day Friday. I mean, it's like all day long, sneezing and just saying like that. And you know, and it just kept going back to what I was saying Friday morning about how I'm healed, how I'm healed, how I'm healed. And you could not imagine the struggle going on in my mind all day long about whether the promise was real or not. And you talk about a testing. I was tested so diligently even that very Friday, and I just kept saying, Lord, You have healed me. You have healed me. You have healed me. By Your stripes I am healed. By Your stripes I am healed. And about that time I'd sneeze. That ever happened to y'all? Or am I the only one that gets tested like that? So what do we do in those things? This is the process, guys. This is the very process that we might call the end, just walking in this divine health or whatever, which could be the end. But it's the process that's the sanctification. God loves working in us and showing you and me how faithful He is to us and how true His Scriptures really are. And we have an enemy of our soul that is always trying to annul the truth of this Word. Always. And he's relentless in his pursuit. We've got to be relentless in our belief. And relentless in knowing that He is making us holy day after day after day. He's already made us as holy as we're ever going to get. And He's going to perfect even this old physical body that's now 60 years of age. One of these days we're going to have a perfected body. But even in this meantime, where really my light today is either shining or it's not shining, if I want to glorify my God, then I just need to do one thing, and that's really just take Him at His word and believe Him as His child. Now that's what's been going on in me. And so I share it with you. It might not mean a word to you. I hope it means something to you. But Well, good, I'll give you a dollar here in a little bit. But, you know, I tell you, Randy knows a lot of this. Tinker knows a lot of it because we were raised together. And we know a lot of the things. And I tell you, to live a good life of bad doctrine is not easy. It's just not easy. And, but man, when you start to see things, you start to understand things, and this process begins to work out, and God starts to illuminate your mind. You know, you ask God for something, you know, God, a lot of times, He won't show you something. He will just reveal who He is to you through something. And we sit here all the time thinking about prayer this and prayer that. I don't believe that there is a prayer we ever pray that God doesn't answer in the affirmative. In some capacity, the way he works it out might be completely opposite to how we think. But you know what? We can't even comprehend how good a God He really is. We can't comprehend how vast He really is. And all we really have to do is just believe Him. Just believe Him. Say, well, time's getting by. I'm turning into an old man, or whatever the case may be. No, you're not. You think God's lost control? He hadn't lost control of anything. He has got your very life in the palm of His hand. And He knows just exactly what you're doing, what He's doing in your life. So anyway, I need to hush. And this thing has felt like it's falling off my ear all morning. But let's pray. I don't want to stop.